greatest story ever told. Presented by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Tonight we present The Calling of Matthew, a drama of forgiveness based on an episode in the greatest life ever lived. Our scene is the town of Capernaum, and in one house a girl sits by the window, looks out at the gathering darkness. A man stands beside her, and in his face there's a great anguish.
Please, Deborah, listen to me.
Uncle, nothing you can say will help.
It may not help you, but at least it'll help me to say it. I want you to understand why I did what I did.
There could have been another way. There must have been another way.
I wish you could understand.
I know one thing. I'm about to be married, and there's practically no one who will attend my wedding. The disgrace of it.
Well, would you rather have starved? I had to do something. I had to get the money to support you. Now, after all, Deborah, you were left alone. Your mother and father both gone in the plague. What was I to do?
Anything. Anything but what you did.
Well, I'm sorry, but I had to do it. I had to find the means to take care of you, and if I chose the wrong occupation, I'm sorry.
But being sorry doesn't help now.
Oh, please, Deborah, the wedding garments you'll wear will be as fine as I could find, and the feast will be an event that you can be proud of.
And the guests? Only a few. Uncle, all my life I've been aware of the fact that there were certain people who just wouldn't have anything to do with me because of your work.
All right, Deborah. All right, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Uncle, what are you talking about?
I'll give up my work. I'll find some new way of making a livelihood, and that'll convince people, and they'll come to your wedding, and they'll want to be friends. Now, you'll see. Everything will work out all right.
You'll give it up on my account?
I've always hated it. I've always hated that look in people's eyes when they see me. And now I'll be rid of it. I'll be as good as any of them. You'll see, Deborah.
Matthew, don't stand there mumbling. If you've something to say, come out with it.
Caius, I want to explain something.
If there's something wrong with your accounts of tax money, that's the one thing that can't be discussed. There are no explanations that Rome will accept.
No, the accounts are right, sir, down to the last coin.
Well?
Caius, I've served you Romans faithfully for a great many years
now.
You've
been paid well.
Yes, I don't deny that.
Well, then?
I don't want the Roman authorities to think that there's anything... that there's anything wrong, but I want to resign from my job.
Resign?
Yes.
A tax collector for the Romans? Resign?
Now, please, it's no laughing matter to me. It's a very serious step.
Of course it is. We'll examine everything you own.
But why? I've been honest in my dealings with you.
Matthew, you must know that you'll never get another position.
Oh, yes, I will.
Indeed?
Yes.
Well, if you do, you'll be the first man who's collected taxes for the Romans and been rewarded with a job by your own people. I don't believe it. And what's more, I think that you've been systematically stealing money from the tax collection, so now you can afford to resign and never work again.
No. You don't understand it. It's my niece. It's the wedding.
Niece?
Yes.
Wedding? What is this?
I've spent my life giving that child everything that she wanted. And this is the most important time in her life, and I can't throw a shadow over everything. So that's why I'm resigning. I'm going to show everyone that I'm not a Roman sympathizer at heart.
What? Fine appreciation for what we Romans have done for you.
Well, what have you done for me? You've made me an outcast. Nobody will speak to me. Nobody will associate with me. That's what working for the Romans has done for me. I'm a traitor.
And now you're... going to give up all this, huh?
Yes, I can get along on very little now. I'm going to find some other work.
Oh, good, good, Matthew. I'm glad to see that you've got the courage and the strength to take such a drastic step to establish yourself in the community again. But if you should change your mind and decide that this is the work you like best after all, Your position will be waiting for you.
Oh, no. I'll never come back. Never.
Of course, but your position will still be waiting for you. After all, it's the least we can do for our friends. We'll wait.
Matthew, what do you want here? I've done nothing wrong. And besides, you're interested in the road collection. You can't come prying into my affairs. Have you been promoted?
No, please, Samuel. I didn't come here to discuss anything like taxes with you.
Oh, you haven't?
No. It's a far different matter that brings me. I need help.
Well, what is it?
Samuel, for a long time now, I've been doing work for the Romans.
How well I know that.
But I've given it all up.
How nice for your sake. What's it to do with me?
Well, you can say what you will about the Romans, but you must know how exacting they are. Now, I've had very fine training, and I can keep books as accurately as anybody.
It must be a great satisfaction to you, I'm sure.
The point of my visit here is, would you give me a position?
Matthew, I have no use for any additional help.
But everybody knows how much your business has prospered in the last few years. Surely you could make room for one man.
I don't see how.
I'll do the work of two. I can.
You won't even do the work of one around here. After all, Matthew, what do you take me for, a fool? Yes, my business has prospered, and I intend to see that it goes on prospering. And one way to make sure is not to hire any friends of the Romans.
I'm no friend of theirs.
There never was a publican in this land who was considered anything but a traitor. And I don't associate with traitors, nor do I give them work. Is that clear, Matthew?
But, Samuel, I've changed.
Changed? The thorns on a rose never change, neither do traitors. Now, you'll do me a great favor by leaving here at once. I have my reputation to think of.
Aram, you must understand.
Understand? What, Matthew?
Now, after all, your caravans carry produce for the Roman armies, and you do a great deal of business with them.
Make yourself clear, Matthew. What is it?
Well, you see, Aram, nobody will believe me. But I think that you can understand, because after all, you do practically the same thing.
Hmm? What do I do?
Well, I mean to say, you work for the Romans, too.
Wait. Now, hold on a minute, Matthew. Are you attempting to put me in the same class with yourself?
Well, we both earn our livelihood working for the Romans.
I don't feel flattered being put in the same class with you, Matthew. And if that's all you've come to say, get out.
Please, Aram. A job is what I need. I can work hard for you.
I'm sorry, Matthew.
But you can trust me. I'm honest. Nobody has ever denied that.
Well, no one ever discusses the honesty of traders. It's like talking about rainfall in the desert.
I thought you'd understand.
You were mistaken. I work for the Romans, it's true, but I take money from them. You take money from your own people for the Romans, and there's a big difference, Matthew.
And you don't think a man can change?
Look, I'm in a pretty delicate situation as it is, and I don't take risks for anyone. To hire you would be such a risk. I'm sorry.
Michael, you must understand.
Whenever someone tells me I must understand, I know immediately it's something others don't understand. You've come seeking a favor, Matthew. You must know there's little I can do.
Perhaps you mean there's little that you can do for me.
If you choose to phrase it that way.
Well, Michael, you're a respected man in this community, and a word from you can mean so much.
A word, huh? Some sort of magic word.
Have you ever known me to do a single dishonest act in my life?
What's the purpose of that question, Matthew?
Well, you see, if you would vouch for me, then I might be able to get a job, because everybody respects you and your word. If you just tell them that I'm honest and decent.
Matthew, let me give you a little insight into a great secret of getting along with people.
If you'd have people respect your word, don't give it too freely.
What do you mean by that?
Why do people regard my word so highly? I'll tell you why. Because they've never been disappointed in what I've said. And again, why? Because I never give my word on anything or anyone. Is that clear?
Well, but I know of several occasions when you vouched for people.
Matthew, how can I vouch for you when you call me a liar?
But I didn't call you a liar.
You didn't use the word straight out, but you did contradict me. You see, Matthew, it's quite impossible for me to vouch for someone like you, much as I'd like to.
Yes, you wouldn't like to at all. You're just toying with me when I'm in trouble and need help, and you don't want to give it to me. You're being very cruel.
Perhaps your friends the Romans would be kinder to you, huh, Matthew? Get out of here, Matthew.
Deborah, I've tried. It's just no use.
Yes, I know.
It's just as though I'd been a thief. Nobody trusts me. Nobody believes me. Now you tell me, Deborah, have I been a traitor? Have I been a friend of the Romans?
Oh, of course not. Uncle Matthew, maybe Daniel's father could help.
Oh, no, that wouldn't be right.
After all, if Daniel is willing to marry me, shouldn't his father be willing to understand about you?
Well, perhaps, but he's the one man that I won't go to. No. When you marry, I want you to cut your ties with me. I want you to try to forget who I am and what I am.
Forget you?
Yes.
After all you've done for me, this whole thing is really my fault. Uncle, I don't deserve your sacrifices.
No. No tears. It seems that in this life, when you make one mistake, you're finished. There's no new beginning. I don't want you to do the same thing that I did. I want you to marry Daniel, and I want you to live your own life. And your children must never know that your uncle was a publican.
You mean you won't even come to see us?
I mean that I don't want to ruin everything that I've worked for by casting a shadow over you for the rest of your life.
And your reward for all the years of sacrifice will be living alone the rest of your life. That isn't fair.
Well, it isn't fair to attach this stigma to your children yet unborn, either. So it's decided.
And what will you do now?
That Roman was cleverer than I gave him credit for. He knew what he was talking about. I'll go back. I'll take the job that's waiting.
Well, Matthew, back? How nice to see you again.
Don't be too cruel, Caius. I'm a beaten man.
Oh? Is it a job you're thinking of?
You said it would be waiting for me.
So I did.
So I'm back. Shall I begin at my usual place?
Your usual place, yes, but not at your usual place. You see, there were some things you said just before you left that I didn't like. We'll take something off for that.
But the work will be the same.
Oh, yes, of course. Only the pay will be different. Now, do you want the job under these conditions, or don't you?
What can I say? I have no choice.
Good. And if you make any mention to anyone of this little change in your remuneration, it will go hard with you. Do I make myself clear?
I know what you mean.
Now go out to the road and take your accustomed place. And be careful today.
Do you mean you think I'd deliberately make any mistake?
No, I didn't mean that. It's just that there are a great crowd passing on the roads today, and that man, what do they call him? Oh, yes, the master. He's supposed to be coming this way, and the roads are packed with people.
The master? I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It was just a random thought. It was more as a wish than a thought.
So, you turn to him, too.
I didn't say anything, did I?
No, you don't have to say anything. Just let one of your people get into trouble and you go to him for help.
Tell me, Matthew, is it true all those things they say about him, about curing the people and raising the dead and all that? Is it true?
I don't know. I've heard what you've heard, but I haven't seen. And yet, somehow, I believe. It must be true.
You'd never find one of us Romans believing in such rot. And as for you, if you have any ideas that he can help you, forget them, because not one of your people would have anything to do with a publican, least of all a prophet like the master. Now get on with your job, publican.
Wait your turn. I must see who owes any taxes, so stand back. Wait your turn. Stand back now and no more of your comments. You think I do this because I want to?
Well, Matthew, have you lost your zest for the job?
Oh, hello, Caius. You were right about the crowds. I have more than I can do to keep them in line.
No excuses. If any one of them slip by, I'll take the taxes out of your pay, do you hear?
Yes, I hear. Now then, first... Now, please... I'm trying to do what I can to make it easier and quicker for all of you. If you'll just cooperate.
What's the matter with them, Kyle?
What I told you, the master, he's coming this way. You see, they're clearing the path for him.
Master? I'll go to him.
No, you go on collecting taxes.
But I must speak to him. I must ask him if he couldn't forgive a man like
me. Where you are, Matthew. You'll do what I tell you to.
Now, please, just this one time. I'd like to ask him. I'd like to find out.
You'll find out what Roman retribution can be like if you don't do your job. Collect the taxes, I say.
But I... Yes, sir. It seems that nothing can help me. Nothing. I'm a man doomed to be hated and distrusted and thwarted and everything. My one chance, or I can't take advantage of it.
Very touching, Matthew, but people are waiting. Collect the taxes.
Yes, Caius, I'll collect the taxes.
Good.
What else is there for me in life? Work for the Romans?
That.
Be hated by your own? Give up what little family you have? That's my lot.
Enough.
All right. Next. What's wrong now? Why have they all grown so quiet?
I don't like it. There's something wrong, something strange. Look.
Master, coming straight up to my stand.
Mm.
What shall I do?
Asking for taxes, of course.
It's a very bad joke, Caius. One doesn't joke about profits. But maybe this is my chance. Maybe this is the opportunity that I've been waiting for.
Huh?
Master, there's something that I wanted to ask you. Sir...
Follow me.
Did you hear? Follow me. That's what the master said. He said it to me. To Matthew, the publican. Did you hear, all of you? Did you hear, you who scorned me, who shunned me? Did you hear? The master himself said for me to follow him.
Matthew, where are you going?
To follow him, Caius, to follow him.
I order you to come back.
Oh, no, Caius, no, not this time, and never again. I've been freed from the slavery of fear about money and the fear of being despised. I'm going to follow him.
Matthew, come back. Come back. In the name of Rome, I order you, come back. Come back.
Gone. He's gone.
You are John, and you're Peter. I must grow to know you all, and you must try to be friendly with me, please.
Matthew, the master has chosen you. If you've been accepted by him, you may expect brotherhood from us.
Yes, Matthew. He came to you even as he came to me. I was by the shore of Galilee mending my fishing nets when the master called me. I went straight away. I followed him. It was the same with you.
Oh, no, not the same, Peter, because I'm a man loathed and hated here in Capernaum. But from now on, things will be different. Now, there's one thing I must do before I leave here. The master and all of you, you'll have the evening meal in my home.
and I shall invite all those who shamed me, and they'll see that the master has forgiven me, and maybe they will too. Peter, John, I've disgraced the master already. All the good people that I've invited, they wouldn't come.
The master shuns no one. And if the meal is prepared, then you should invite those who will come.
Well, but Peter, other publicans, they're sinners. They're people not as righteous as those that I had asked to attend.
Peter's right. The master doesn't turn from anyone. Should we turn from them then? Go, Matthew. Invite those who will come and share the feast with us.
John, I can see now what you meant. The master turns from no man.
It's not difficult to look about this table and guess the things these men have done. Some have the shifty eyes of thieves, others the hard faces of disbelievers, and still others the hunted and worried look of those who are afraid of the world.
And yet the master eats with them and treats none of them with disrespect.
Because he thinks not of the past, but of the present and the future. There's no man here who can't be a good man. And with help and understanding, they will be.
Uncle Matthew. Uncle Matthew.
Yes, what is it, Deborah?
Oh, Uncle, they're coming. The important men in town, Samuel, Aaron, the elders. They're coming here.
They are? Well, but that's good. Then they'll see that I eat at the same table with the master, and they'll know that he believes that I've changed.
Oh, but you don't understand. They're coming here to confront the master. To do you harm.
Don't be afraid, Matthew.
Yes, let them come. The master's faced mobs before and men of authority. Don't be afraid, Matthew. You have brothers now. Loyal brothers.
That must be them.
Yes, I'll let them in. Samuel, Aram, welcome to my home.
Welcome nothing. Where is he? Where is this man who claims to be a prophet and is a friend of publicans and sinners at the same time?
There he sits at the head of the table. What do you want with him?
Master, you call yourself a prophet. A teacher of goodness and right. And yet there's not a man here at this table with you that we don't know to be a publican or a thief or an irreligious man. If you've come to raise them to the status of honored men, then you're not wanted in this town, do you understand?
No way to address the master.
His actions earn him that kind of address. Well, master, do you persist in honoring these people? If not, we have prepared a banquet for you. We, the honorable citizens of Capernaum. Make your choice now.
They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
No, my friends. Let's not lose our tempers. There's a great deal in what he said. And haven't we seen it? Matthew wanted to give up being a publican, but we wouldn't help him. I wouldn't give him a job. We forced him to go back to the Romans. If we'd helped him as the master did, he would have changed. He wanted to so much. Master, forgive us our rash words. Forgive us. And Matthew, would you forgive me?
Gladly, Samuel. Gladly.
But they that are sick, I came not to call.
You'll do better getting some sleep now, Matthew, and do your writing by daylight. What is it you're copying there?
The words the master spoke. I'll make a record, John.
a record of everything that he said. For these words are meant to last forever. And if I can record for others to read one day, I'll have earned the forgiveness that I found through him. Now I'm putting down those words that he spoke that helped me.
They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
This program was brought to you by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Next week, on this same network at this time, we'll present If Thine Eye Offend Thee, another episode in the greatest story ever told from the greatest life ever lived. ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.